Calais. Kamala Harris has been selected by Joe Biden as his running mate for the 2020 U.S. presidential election. Harris makes history as the first Black woman and the first Asian American woman to run as a vice presidential candidate on any major U.S. party ticket.
Although she wasn't most progressive's first choice as VP, Harris strikes a delicate balance between the desire for representation and a candidate who will aggressively pursue reform while calming down the more conservative factions of the party. Today, comedian Lindsay Shaw joins us to take a look at the announcement of Kamala Harris as vice president and how Republicans are already sharpening their knives.
Plus, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion have a new hit song, WAP, about the power of Wet the JJ.
Madonna's masterpiece performance of Vogue at the 1990s MTV Video Music Awards gets a high-definition upgrade courtesy of an AI.
And RuPaul is back in the tabloids as folks scrutinize once again why the nation's top drag queen unexpectedly deleted her social media accounts. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Okay.
Hello.
Welcome to the Feast of Fun teleconference. My name is Fausto. You are being patched in to Mark Fillion.
Hi there. I'll be moderating. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. You're enjoying the lockdown? Oh, you're not locked down anymore. You're a girl on the move.
I've been liberated from lockdown for a while. Yeah, breaking all the rules. But
you're out.
But wearing a mask.
You're out doing comedy. Are you wearing comedy? Doing comedy in front of a live audience. Are you wearing a mask for that?
I've only done that three times since June. Okay. And yeah, we wear a mask when we don't have to wear the mask while
you're performing, right? How did it go? Did you kill that night, or did you have to wait for 2 weeks to find out whether you killed?
Wait, did you tell me that before?
I told you that joke on the street, but it took you. You know, but it's new to the audience, girl. It's new. You could always, you know, it's new to you.
It's so funny because, like, we're so intimate with you that you forget that you're on a talk show right now. But this is the hard thing for us. It's been that we've been doing this podcast. And all the guests that we talk to now are over the phone, mm-hmm. and they just forget they're on a program, right. And they're just like, I gotta go get some eggs at the grocery store, or sometimes they start masturbating, or start taking a shower.
And it's like, feel like, you know, I love you, but I don't really, I haven't known you for that long, and I want to say this is like the third podcast you've been on, right? But like, you were on two before, but those were both in the home studio, so how long ago was that?
Only one was in person in February. Okay.
Mark's got COVID amnesia.
Yeah, COVID-esia.
A little bit. I was gonna say, don't worry, my internet's out, so I won't be playing porn while we're recording. But
why do you have no internet?
Oh God, I don't.
It's a long story.
The power. I have power, but the internet's not working. Okay. Yeah, probably from the storm.
Oh my God! Yeah, one of our new viral videos. It was taking the internet by storm when Mark and I started streaming as the tornado started tearing apart our neighborhood. Don't get excited. We're still alive.
Oh really?
Don't get your hopes up. But it was quite terrifying. Like you heard outside in the streets. And friends of ours in blocks away
have no power.
Michael Liet, he's been camping out at a friend's house.
The dog's not happy about it.
No, the dog's like, woo. But you know what? America right now is celebrating because in the 50s we had Camelot, and now in the 2020s we have Kamala. She's very, very hot. We could have had Elizabeth Warren. We could have had Pete Buttigieg. But Kamala Harris is what the U.S. presidential election is all about.
Okay. I need to be educated a little bit on her because, of course, my social media feeds are being just flooded with stuff, you know, things about her and Biden and him picking her. And every news outlet I follow is, it's Kamala. It's not. And then obviously the counter argument to that is that she's a cop, or, you know, that's like,
well, the most important thing to know is she's not Trump, nor is she Pence. And that's the biggest plus there is.
That's all. I mean, yeah, Totally. I want to do some research, or maybe you guys can shed some light on what her connection is with law enforcement and why people are saying that, and like why that's sort of a controversial point with her.
Well, she's arresting America by the heartstrings. And she's
she's into a prison of love.
She's got our
okay, so you guys obviously.
No, I'm very comfortable in talking about Kamala Harris. Just to be clear here, like, she was definitely not my first choice. I think Elizabeth Warren or Stacey Abrams generally were in front of the line. But part of it is like, you know what? She's going to be vice president. But okay, so here's our strengths. She's prosecutorial heavy.
Okay.
We need to go after the Republican Party's corruption. There are so many crimes the Trump administration has done. There are so many crimes, so much fucked up money shit that's gone on in the last 4 years. And a huge reason that we're dealing with this today is because Nixon and the Republicans got away with their crimes, as well as Reagan and George W. Bush, because nobody made them pay. And Kamala Harris, she knows the law. She used to be a cop, and now she's going to be the sheriff.
But there's a big difference between prosecuting somebody who is a politician that came before you, or is even happening on your watch, and you know, just a regular run-of-the-mill criminal, you know?
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens with that.
So here's the laundry list. Kamala Harris, she was hugely helped to put a stake in the evil heart of Proposition 8 as Attorney General for California. She's going to be making Mike Pence undoubtedly wilt like a pansy in the debate. She is not just the first woman of color to be on the top ticket. She is also half Indian and half Jamaican, and she does not suffer fools lightly. Right. Jamaican me excited, Kamala Harris. She's going to be energizing voters to show up, and she's been pushing Democrats to put more money on the table during the pandemic, asking for $2,000 a month for every citizen in the United States, just like Canada and the UK are already doing. She's also the only candidate to be speaking out on decriminalizing sex work. So even though her past may not be so rosy, in the last 20 years of her career, she's been a very, very progressive candidate. And I think she's a wise choice because she balances all the anxieties that Democrats have moving into this election.
I didn't realize she was a cop. She was actually a police officer.
Well, she was a prosecutor, so they call her a cop, right?
Yeah, she's not like on the beat like Cagney and Lacey.
So she wasn't like on the police force. She was a lawyer.
Yes.
No. Right. She's not in the movie Police Academy 2. Freeze, dirtbag. That's a different person.
She was part of the district attorney's office, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Or for the state. Right.
Cali. Yes.
Yeah.
California.
So, you know, people just, you know, they're all cops, right?
Oh, God. Okay. Sure. That's so silly.
So Republicans already have T-shirts for sale that says Kamala is a cop.
Yeah, that's what I've seen. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, you're going to be, you know, certainly she's now the opposing candidate. So they're going to be basically trying to remind voters, progressive voters, of her shortcomings when it comes to certain issues. We need to reform the police in the United States. And I'm hoping that with how progressive she's been in the recent years, that she would be actually a good candidate to defund the police. So basically, defund is, I think, a harsh word, is maybe moving funds from the police into social
reform
programs.
Reform is it. Yeah.
Listen, you know, we could just get rid of the police and start a whole new department. I'm fine with never seeing a police officer ever again in the United States of America. The police were started as a way to, you know, police people of color. And, you know, in terms of like preventing crime, they do nothing about that. They're, you know, and the people who prosecute crime are detectives. Those are different things. So in terms of the police, they're the ones giving speeding tickets. And why would any American want to police on their beat? You know?
Well, they feel like they're getting protection, right?
You get the protection afterwards, and that's from Law and Order Detective Unit.
Olivia Benson coming.
Yes. I don't feel like having a police department in the United States at this point seems like a huge deal or a necessity. And I think we need to move a lot of that money away from the police and away from militarizing the police into yeah. into helping people yeah. instead of punishing them, help
there's,
them.
There's no question that it's in dire need of reform and training, you know, especially in training on how not to be racist and kill people and how to get your shit together. I mean, people, you know, there's nurses that work with people that have mental health issues every day. You don't see them murdering their patients. You just don't.
Right.
You
know?
If you murdered a patient in a hospital, you'd be in jail and you'd be sued your ass off.
You didn't see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
I saw
right.
it.
Right.
Nurse Ratched, honey.
Well, now that's a Netflix thing.
What, she said it's an ongoing
they
series?
They did a prequel or something like that of Nurse Ratched. It's with, what's her name? Sarah Paulson.
Oh, that's so, yeah. that's going to be good.
Oh, wow. She's great. I wanted to make the point, though, about that whole, like, Democrat-Republican divide. So, you know, police and like, just like the whole racism thing, that racism factors, especially right now in the current climate we're in with the movement, Black Lives Matter, you know, of course, and the protests and everything that's going on. Obviously, I think the Republicans are going to counterattack with, you know, oh, you wanted to fund the police, but she's a cop. Like, that's going to be like their go-to argument. Mm-hmm. And I think it plays into this whole thing that, like, Democrats not racist and Democrats are, you know, for people of color, and that's a card they've always, but I don't think that it's always followed through with. So today someone sent me an inbox because I posted something on Instagram about, I, you know, something about protests and riots happen because, you know, this community of people have been, you know, just ignored and disenfranchised or discriminated against for, you know, throughout history. And someone said, well, you know, Democrats have run Chicago for over 50 years. And I said, well, Democrats can be racist too. So I think politicians, you know, like to play the card because they can't, you know, I think there are people in politics, you know, sometimes a lot of times draw the line between Republicans as racist and Democrats is not, and that doesn't always really wash out, unfortunately. And I think people of power, whether Democrat or Republican, can fund police and fund the programs that disenfranchise and fund the programs that are not really helping our communities, but instead, you know, repressing our communities, just like these, you know, and like the whole defund the police. Yes, that word defund is problematic because makes people think, well, take it away. Oh, we're going to take, you know, cops need money too. They're doing their job, or, you know, not all cops are bad. It's like all that, there's all that dialogue around it. And it's like, well, no, it's not about taking all the money away, taking cops away altogether, which I wouldn't mind either, because I don't know. I think they're just, like you said, they're militarized and they're in the streets a lot of times just to, you know, trouble, maybe
I feel like I'm talking to a robot.
You know,
girl, it's like your internet is down, so like I feel like every other word is like popping in and out or something, but it's kind of fun. It feels very random.
Do you want to record on her end? Would that help?
Do you have a microphone?
Well, you just press the record button. Can't you press your record button on your
and
phone?
And then she would record all our own too. Yeah, that would be that would be a bad idea.
Okay.
That this would be fun, you know. It's okay. Like we're talking to a robot.
None of that came through.
What kind of button
It came through. It came through every now and then, though. It kind of like peaks.
You said, know what I mean? "I love the police, and I think."
If you put that in there, I will sue.
Listen, it's your words and your internet connection.
I didn't.
Yeah. Oh wow, it was funny. It literally cut
out. Murdered who?
It cut out just when you said I did that.
Well, I pissed because I said a lot of prolific things, mm-hmm. So it's upsetting.
I'm excited about Kamala Harris, and the best part of it all is the cherry on the top is that Maya Rudolph is literally says, darling, not only did I get an Emmy nomination for my portrayal of Miss Kamala Harris on Saturday Night Live, now I can raise my rates.
That's the part of all of it.
Okay. How far off is her Kamala Harris from her Whitney Houston?
Whitney Houston, Kamala Harris, and Beyonce with Maya Rudolph is basically the same character. And it's like, she's like, did somebody say my name? And then when Trump says something, she goes, oh, no. Let's see.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here to talk to my connections.
Are you there? Mark, you could say
I'm here.
I'm here as
well.
Can
you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Well, I said like a whole speech. I the whole campaign pitch and it didn't come through.
I heard, yes. Let's figure out a new where to start because it's
just keep going. Say something. Now. Hello?
I say defund the cops.
Yes. Now
because they do more harm than good.
Yes, yes. But you know, now we can't defund the cops because we have to give the cop money so that she gets into the vice president situation. You know, now we have to fund the campaign, I guess, right?
I was very worried that a very conservative candidate would be in there. And this Kamala is actually a really good balance of a lot of concerns that Democrats have. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of Democrats feel like they have to pander to conservatives in their own party, which I think is ridiculous. You know, because it didn't do very well in the last election, you know. So in terms of moving forward and sort of undoing the damage that Republicans have done in the past decade, including with Trump, I think, you know, I'm resting easy and I'm actually very happy.
And her solid, you know, background in law and understanding law and being a lawyer is going to be very helpful and re-getting our government back together. Because, I mean, Trump's just tried to destroy everything. He's trying to destroy the post office and everything that works and the school system and defund schools. And Jesse, stay out of that toilet. Jesse?
Mark, it's okay if the dog drinks out of the toilet every now and then. Think of it as a little treat.
Okay.
It's his cocktail. A stressful day for Jesse.
You think, to unseat the administration?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Listen, is there a way that you can get to Wi-Fi signal somewhere? It's literally like every other, it's not going to work out. You know?
Or do you want to try over Facebook Messenger?
It's not the same thing. It's going to internet. She has no internet.
I just have my phone.
Hello? Let me see if I could just call you through the cellular, but I think even with a cellular, it might be bad. Let me try calling you back.
Yeah, sorry. Let's see what's going on. It's okay.
Hello. Hi.
Is this Lindsay Shaw?
Can you hear me? Do I sound like a robot?
Yes, this sounds better.
Now you're on the old-fashioned phone. Operator Lindsay, which part am I speaking
to? You've reached my rotary. I have a switchboard too.
So, Lindsay, on another topic, you are in the process of sort of rebuilding your comedy career in the ashes of the COVID pandemic. During the pandemic, though?
So I've definitely only been on stage three times in the last 2 months. So a downgrade for sure. It was really great to get back on stage when I did at the end of June and, you know, to be in front of people and a live audience as opposed to a Zoom conference call is way, I mean, it's just worlds better, and that's just what we do. It's to do comedy on your computer and to your screen to just like faces and squares is just weird. And it's not stand up. So it was a way to stay in the game, I guess, while we were locked down, but it's nothing compares to being on stage in front of, you know, real people.
So is the audience wearing masks or are you wearing masks or are you worried? I mean, you know, are you like Smash Mouth who recently they just performed at that biker convention?
And Sturgis, right?
Yeah, the Sturgis motorcycle rally. And I have a little bit of their song. Do you want to hear it? That they performed on stage?
Sure.
Somebody once told me the flu was gonna roll me. You got no freaking mask on your head. Just stay with me. Well, I was feeling dumb because I got kicked out of the store by a teenage kid with acne on his head. Well, the cough starts coming and the nose starts running. Won't wear a mask because that's no fun. Evie shooting stars get the COVID. Hey, now you're infected. And then he drops dead.
Please tell me
I got it off the internet. It was one of those crowdsourced threads in a forum.
Mm-hmm. People making fun of Smash Mouth for wanting to perform. But you know, those large crowds where people are standing right next to each other and they're not moving, like, that's why I was just like, these protests, you know, aren't too bad, because like people are typically moving during it, and that's going to cut down on the rate of COVID infection. But if you're standing next to somebody at a concert, you're singing right along, you're not wearing a mask, that's when that kind of thing will spread. But your comedy, you were doing comedy like in a comedy club?
And people weren't laughing, so no, it's safe.
I'm sure Lindsay killed probably many people.
Wow.
2 weeks later.
No, but like, so, but you were outside, like, basically out on a patio, right? And people were like distanced.
Yeah, on a patio. So, you know, on a rooftop patio, table spread, you know, 6 feet apart, and only, you know, two people, no more than three people per table. And the patron, you know, the rule at a restaurant or bar right now is you don't have to wear a mask while you're eating and drinking. So they weren't wearing masks. Comedians wore masks until we went on stage. And then when we were on stage, we didn't have to perform with a mask on. We just had to put this little, like, condom net over the mic. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's been fun. It's at the Comedy Bar on Superior above Geno's East. So they're really the only thing going on. I mean,
comedy-wise,
Laugh
right?
Factory's opening back up. Well, Laugh Factory's opening back up, and so is Zany's. But Comedy Bar was the first to be able to, like, do it for real because they have the patio access. Mm-hmm. So,
because it's outside.
So it's been fun. I'm trying outside. Yep. Outside, and they're, you know.
Well, emotionally, what's it like for you to sort of be back in front of an audience, even in these kind of, like, awkward,
yeah,
controversial, because, you know, if somebody catches wind of I'm like, I know the little audience listening to this is going to be like, Lindsay's nut.
Well, I wasn't the only one performing, so I didn't feel too bad. You know, there were 10 or 12 of us. So it's an open mic, but they really, it's called an open mic, but it's really put on like a show because people buy tickets and it's a regular audience mm-hmm. watching. So, but anyway, I was nervous, of course, because it had been 3 months since I had been on stage in front of actual people. So I was nervous, and I like thought I was going to do all new things. And at the last minute, I was like, no, this feels like too much of a real show. I can't do an open mic material. I have to do, you know, old stuff and new. And I kind of like redid what I was going to say last minute. And I got up, and it was literally, I just, maybe because I missed it so much, it just came back full force. I didn't skip a beat. So felt really great. I was really proud of how I got right back into it the way I did. You know, it was just really exciting to be able to do it again and also do a good job.
And it was basically like, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. And you put some Vaseline on your teeth and your best Sunday dress. And
yeah, seriously, it was like, it's all or nothing. This is it. This is, you know. And because it had been so long, and it, you know, there's obviously just so much buildup in that like half hour before going on stage. So it's so great. Yeah,
and a lot of stuff has happened to the comedy scene here in Chicago since COVID happened. I mean, Second City got some letters written to them. IO stopped. They just stopped.
Well, IO is shut down. I mean, they have ceased to exist. So they're no longer, you know, they're shut down, which is.
They reopened, though, in the building, they reopened it as a new Moo-an-oink.
Wrong neighborhood for Moo-an-oink, honey.
Moo-an-oink! I love those TV ads. People who don't live in Chicago, they're basically like ran late night ads on television here in the kind of the 80s and the 90s.
And the 2000s.
And it was basically like a good place on the south side to get, you know, discount meats and produce and stuff like that.
Moo and Ike. Moo. We got baby spare ribs, roast beef, hot links, and more to give. Cube steaks, hot dogs, real tips. Ooh, pork chops, turkey wings, and chicken wings, too.
Compliment any meal with mustard, turnip, and collard greens, just 29 cents a pound. Try them with smoked picnic ham, 69 cents a pound. Delicious with farm-raised catfish, $1.59 a pound. And great with chicken leg quarters, fixed your favorite way, only 29 cents a pound.
Moo and Ike! Moo and Ike!
Their mascots was a cow and a pig. And they're like, I'm delicious, eat me! Moo and Ike!
What does that have to do with I.O.?
I just thought it would be really wonderful if a Moo and Ike opened there.
Oh.
Instead. You know, something with a little flavor, a little personality.
Someone made a joke that it's going to be a Halloween costume. Like, where are those Halloween pop-up Halloween stores that go up every year?
Those things are canceled, too. One of the Halloween stores, what are the Halloween Spirits, or like, we're just not, you know, even open any stores, but you can visit us online.
Oh, that's a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween is canceled? No.
So sad.
Trump really sucks.
So sad.
You know, and somebody was saying that, like, if everybody just put on their masks, stayed at home for 2 weeks, we'd be done with this. We could actually celebrate Halloween if everybody just stayed at home for 2 weeks.
It's not going to happen.
Well, we've already done that. We didn't.
We never shut down fully. That's the problem. And like people were like, well, if you want to, you don't have to, you know? And so like, I remember like even, you know, I'll put it this way, that there were some boys at the gym who were very cute. I was wearing my masks. Some of them were not. And then they wanted to work in the equipment with me. And I'm just like, there's a pandemic going on. You can't share equipment with people at the gym.
Well, why are they wearing a mask? I mean, are you not at my gym? You're not let in unless you have a mask on.
Yeah, but there was nobody. There's one staff person and they're half asleep. And it's like, you know, they don't care. They're like, sir, please wear a mask.
I left the gym the other like a couple weeks ago because I was working out at a gym. There's a bunch of people that didn't wear, like they had their masks down underneath their nose and whatnot. They were just taking it off, walking around. I'm just like, what a part of you're going to kill us all do you not understand?
And we have to resist the temptation to like blame people. This is a failure in leadership because there's people all over the world.
Right.
And other countries, other communities, New Zealand, just everybody went home, you know, quarantined for 2 weeks, for a couple months, actually, and that's done.
We just have this attitude as Americans of entitlement and this that wild, wild west mentality of like, let freedom ring, we're going to do what we want type shit. Mm. And that's why the masks have become so politicized. It's like, you can't tell me what to do. And because our president, and I hate to even call him that, but whatever, he denounced the science and he's denied this whole thing right up until people were dying by the hundreds of thousands. You know, when you denounce science and people who listen to a political leader denounce science, they're like, well, we don't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on. They can't keep up. They don't even know. You know, it's like, no, there is actual scientific backing to wearing a mask. And, you know, there is actual scientific proof of what goes on with the spread of this virus. But people just dismiss it because, like you said, our lack of leadership.
Yeah, and I think part of it is you're going to have something changing. And, honey, there's a new sheriff in town, and her name is Kamala Harris. And she's got to issue tickets and citations.
I wonder if the pandemic's probably still going to be going on when they become president.
I don't even know how the National Democratic Convention is going to happen.
It's all virtual.
So that's why they probably said, oh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you can speak. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the past, there's all this pageantry and showbiz and spectacle. And now it's like RuPaul's Drag Race, the season finale.
Yeah.
Everybody's in their living rooms.
It's a Zoom conference.
It's never going, you know, this isn't going to go away. And I love how Trump was like, it's fine. It'll go away in April. And like he denied it from January up until right in the middle of March. Yeah. I mean, from he was warned in January, and then to save the markets and to save face and to keep the market from crashing, he said, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry," because all he is a marketing ploy. Mm-hmm. All he is is a puppet. Mm-hmm. All he is a stick figure idiot. And he just kept saying, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." The markets listened to what was happening around the world and how other countries were suffering, and the Dow still dropped. And Trump, to try to save it from dropping even more, kept denying it. And that's all he cared about was how the market.
Part of me is like, I hear what you're saying. I feel like a lot of people are saying that, but I personally believe that he fully understood the great harm that this virus would do to us as a people and the massive amount of death it would cause. I feel like he actually knew that this would be it. And this was the intended intent the whole time. And that they're just trying to play him off as being somehow he didn't reach the level of leadership that he needed to be at or understand really what was going on, or maybe he was too immature to know what was going on. But I fully believe that he understood the consequences to this so that they could do an extraordinary amount of theft. I mean, billions of dollars were taken from the government and taken out of the treasury to pay large corporations huge sums of money. I think it's probably one of the greatest crimes in history, not only by just, you know, for the murder of all these people who died because of COVID, but the financial aspect of it. I think that he's a grifter, and he knew that if he caused some kind of pandemic like that, that he'd be able to steal millions and millions of dollars.
Billions, yeah. Not millions.
He's
evil. He's evil.
Well, Lindsay's still not convinced yet.
I don't deny that. Yeah. What did you say?
Lindsay's like, I deny that.
No, yeah. You know what? This is going to come out,
Trump.
And it's going to paint me in a really bad light. And like I said, you're going to see a call from Kamala on my behalf.
The sheriff.
No, I think what you said just now has some validity. I think it's a little bit conspiracy theorist.
It is a little bit, but he's an evil motherfucker, and he's known a lot of evil motherfuckers for a very long time.
He's an evil lying pig, but I'm just saying, regardless, no matter what his intentions were, what his agenda was, it has killed people and it has destroyed the economy. And he is a lying, bumbling, fucking marketing puppet piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, some people are like saying, well, aren't the Democrats enabling him? Noam Chomsky, who's, you know, famous for being quite a progressive, said he wants you to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and then haunt them in their dreams. Historically, pandemics has forced humans to break with the past, imagine the world anew. This one is no different. It is a portal, a gateway between one world and the next. We can choose to walk through it, dragging the carcasses of our prejudice and hatred, and our data banks and dead ideas, our dead rivers and smoky skies behind us. Or we can walk through lightly with little luggage, ready to imagine a better world and ready to fight for it.
Wow.
I like that.
You know what? I like you. And I feel as though what we've gone through since March, April, May, July, it's been what? Almost 6 months of this.
I'm used to it now. I'm like, this is the new normal.
It almost feels like normal. Well, yes, to an extent. But think of the impact it had on our lives in the very beginning and how traumatizing it was for the first couple months and how scary it still is. And it's still stressful. It's still, even though summer came and, it's nice weather and things opened back up, fine. I mean, it's still a very real threat to our health and it's a public crisis. And I think looking back, we can maybe take this, not looking back, currently we can take the time as a reset. And I've said this even from the beginning of the pandemic and lockdown and all of that. It can be a time to reset. And, what Chomsky, am I saying it right?
Mm-hmm.
Chomsky. What he's saying is that if we can get through this peril with a new perspective and new strength and, new character almost from individually and as a society, we can, rebuild for the better. And I think the protests are a testament to that because, we're in the middle of a global pandemic and just so many infected, millions infected, thousands dying. And then we're taking to the streets to protest against inequality and,
police brutality.
Yeah.
Violence.
police brutality. That's it.
Let's talk about something more lighthearted. John Waters, the great John Waters, filmmaker of Hairspray, Pink Flamingos. He recently in an interview said he discovered this weird old stereotype that gay people can't whistle. He was reading the book The Man in the Red Coat by Julian Barnes. In it, John Waters found out that it was once believed around the time of Oscar Wilde that a person's sexuality could be determined if they could whistle. And it's true. I mean, he says gay people can't whistle. I've asked every gay person I know, and they can't. Now, you listeners out there, you are lovers of the same gender. Can you whistle? Can you whistle, Mark?
I'm not a very good
whistler. Let's hear it. Okay, let me try it. What about you, Lindsay? Can you whistle?
No, barely.
But
are they saying
I can't? Come on, whistle for me, baby.
It sounds like you're farting.
Just put your lips together and blow.
I'm not farting. God, you really rocked me out here. No one will ever see your stand up. You killed people. You love the cops.
Let's see. Let's recap that.
Lindsay likes Trump. You're a robot. Lindsay, no. And I can't. Here's what's funny. It's very rare that I can just come. I don't know how to do it on command. And so the thing you can't, if you can't whistle, you're straight.
No, if you can't whistle, you're gay.
If you can whistle, you're straight.
Wait, but I came out as bi, and I've been dating a girl.
You what? Did? So, what?
Yeah.
You got yourself a honey, a sweet honey.
You got yourself a COVID cuddler. I mean,
she's got a, what's it, WAP. Hashtag WAP.
Wet ass pussy.
Yes.
I've had multiple lovers during the pandemic.
Oh yeah. So
and it's taken multiple COVID tests.
Are you coming over? Take that COVID test. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If Trump can screen people on the same day, why can't Lindsay?
Right.
She's like, cough. Let me stick this stick in your nose. It's like that's not a dildo.
It's like, you know, the swab doesn't go up the penis anymore. It goes up your nose. Anyway, I have had, multiple lovers.
All right, girl. Party.
One being a girl. I was dating a guy.
Well, because I was
seeing Noah again.
Are you, hold on 1 second. Are you on speakerphone?
Yes, I go off.
Yes.
I die.
Yeah.
I'm off speaker.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. I'd be better off with a cannon string.
It does sound better now. So, Lindsay, the other day I ran into you on the street and you were with a guy. He was pretty cute, I have to say. Is that...
She does not fuck ugly, honey.
Is that one of, is that a COVID boyfriend? A girlfriend?
That's Noah. That's my ex. That's a boy and he's my ex-boyfriend who we revisit once in a while and it's probably ultimately unhealthy and he's just living together recently and I just had to shut it down altogether.
Oh, you guys were living together?
No, he suggested that we live together and then we moved
after
together.
After you broke up, he was like, we should live together?
We've been broken up for a year, but we never really fully cut ties. We broke up last August.
Okay.
And then we're friends, and then we were sleeping together, and then we were friends, and then we were fighting, and then we were sleeping together, and then we were friends, and it's just gone. It's been a roller coaster of shit. But most recently, we got a hotel room for nights because we don't have AC and we just wanted to escape the heat and just do a vacation. And so we had a hotel room for a few nights and came over for dinner a few nights later. And he was like, you know, we've been having such a great time together and do really well.
And then you fucked him, didn't you? You fucked him. You left the body. You moved the headstones, but you left the bodies, didn't you?
Oh my God, I just watched Poltergeist twice.
Oh my God, it's so good.
We watched it last week.
I love it. It's such, because it's on Netflix.
It's kind of a good movie if you're a little tired and you want to watch something, because you can fall asleep and you can wake up at any point in the movie and know what's happening. But it's also like there's a scene where like it's dark at night and they're just sitting around whispering to each other in the dark of the room. And you're like, that's the part where you can just totally snooze out. And it lasts for like 10 minutes.
But it was kind of one of the early ASMR kind of moments, right?
I think so, right?
Yeah. I love how
All are welcome. All are welcome. Tangina.
She was actually a very terrible exorcist, really, because she's just like, this house is clean. And that house was not clean.
No.
It was not.
No.
It trash compacted itself.
I would have asked mine for my money back.
Did they have to pay her?
I don't know.
Who paid Tangina?
She probably just did it for, you know, the
listen, love Tangina, of it. She may be little, but her grocery bills still cost the same. You know what I'm saying? And it's like she got to pay the rent. Yeah. And, you know, in California in the 80s, that rent ain't cheap.
You know, the thing of all the Poltergeist movies, it is the best one.
How many are there?
Three. Yeah.
The last one, the little girl died during the filming of it, and they had to kind of like do quick rewrites and use mirrors and all sorts of weird stuff because they didn't know how to film the rest of it.
The third one is so fucked up that the little girl, when she goes into the other world, they just left her there.
No, that's so sad. Because both the daughters from that movie, the little girl, she died at 12. And then the teenage daughter, Dana, who was
Dominique
20,
Dunn, yeah. She was shot to death by a fan.
She was killed.
She was murdered by an ex-boyfriend, a stalker.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, he was a stalker and he had been stalking her for a while, I believe. And you can hear more about it. We did a whole podcast with Peaches Christ on actresses who were murdered. You can check that in our archives. And we did one on actors who were murdered, I believe, as well, too.
It's a wholesome family fun. and part of it is like, the Poltergeist cast, with the exception of Judd Nelson, they've all been kind of cursed.
It's not Judd Nelson.
Or what's his name?
Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson, coach. The other Nelson.
Coach, for the babe.
I got to tell you, though, you know, in the 1980s, being a kid in the suburbs of California was hazardous. You had to deal with vampires and aliens and ghosts that want to fuck you up. It's like, move to the city.
Wait, do you remember in the beginning of Poltergeist, Coach, the dad, he's reading a book about Reagan? I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Because the mother was a pot-smoking liberal hippie, mm-hmm. and the dad was conservative.
Right.
Into Reagan. And the family bonded in their duress by fighting the supernatural world. Mm-hmm. In Poltergeist 2, we find out that the head priest is RuPaul in a hat.
Are you serious?
The guy kind of looks like RuPaul. When RuPaul looked at her worst, she looked like the guy from the Poltergeist 2 movie. And he's like, you're all gonna die!
I want to watch the other Poltergeist now.
It's so ridiculous.
The second one's not as bad as the third one. The third one is just like, what is even happening
here? The second one has a Native American sage who moves in with the family. The father's fighting alcoholism. A worm crawls into his gut and he vomits it on the... There's some scenes in there that are really out there. And of course, you have that wonderful actor who played the priest... The demented priest who kind of looks like RuPaul at her worst. And
the reverend. He was the reverend.
And he also died shortly after that film was made.
He was so skinny because he was dying from cancer and he just wanted to keep
on acting. I feel like they're cursed.
Well, I think they cast. They're like, you're dying from cancer? Great. Just finish the movie. You're all going to die, especially me, because I'm on chemo right now.
Yeah,
you know the tabloids. RuPaul's back in the tabloids again.
For what? Because she disappeared. She's not on Instagram. She's not on Twitter. She's not doing anything.
She's like Jesus.
I mean, they say she's disappeared because she's filming, All Stars 6 and season 13 of Drag Race. So she's just like, I'm just gonna focus on this and not worry about the outside world.
And she's also filming season 2 of RuPaul's Celebrity Drag Race. I'm just kidding about that. There will not be a second season.
There might be.
But anyways, RuPaul, Michelle Visage went on the tabloids because mm-hmm. she can't keep her mouth shut. And she said that she told Page Six, the truth is that Black Lives Matter is overwhelming for someone like Rue. He gets backlash for appearing to not support the community, and he receives a lot of negativity, so he disengages. Now, other sources are saying that part of the, you know, RuPaul's disengaging from the internet has been a reaction to, you know, the public reacting to his admitting to fracking on his ranch in Wyoming. But it also could be a reference to the time Danielle Young, a Black journalist, questioned RuPaul backstage in the press room at the 2019 Emmys over the lack of racial diversity and representation in the production staff of RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul did not like that question and totally dismissed Danielle. So RuPaul's had a rough year. You know, RuPaul's also worried that he might be get a lot of negative feedback that he has to manage the way Ellen DeGeneres is handling right now. And he's just, you know, just doesn't want to deal with it. So he just said, fuck it to all his social media and deleted it all. He did delete all the photos of his Instagram and he deleted his Twitter account. There is no twitter.com/RuPaul anymore.
Ooh. I don't blame him.
Can we take it? Can we become the new RuPaul?
Everybody say love and fracking.
You didn't hear about the fracking?
You know, I should just start tweeting as RuPaul. No. I would be better at RuPaul than RuPaul.
Yeah, but you have to do it in the voice. Because
RuPaul takes all the, half of the shit that he says he's still going to take care for the show anyways. Might as well just cut the middleman out.
What do you guys think about Ellen?
Who?
I don't.
Ellen.
Oh, Ellen. You know, it's kind of funny. Well, you know Carly, right? Carly Ballerini.
Yeah.
So she came on the podcast and we did a whole podcast on like, wow, like all these things, like Ellen's a real bitch. And this was back in, I don't know, probably just before I think we had you on the podcast, maybe January or February. And we just talked a little bit about, because we had both heard a couple stories here and there. And then as soon as that podcast came out, things just started trickling in. I really feel like we pulled the cork off on that bottle and like everything's come out. And now when we send like Carly little articles on people coming for Ellen, she doesn't even respond anymore because I think she's really worried that like it's gonna be like, oh, she's the one that got Ellen like canceled.
Well, she's worried that she's gonna be like Hannibal Burris.
Yeah, that she's not gonna be able to get any gigs or anything like that.
But Hannibal Burris is doing very well for you know, calling out Bill Cosby in stand up. And I think Carly, if you're listening, and I tell her this to her face, it's like I think you're she's missing out a golden opportunity to be known as the lesbian comedian who took down Ellen.
There's a person who put that knife in, and now you just got to turn it real hard to the left and then back to the right and then take it out and then plunge it in again. Turn it around.
Who's dancing now?
And keep and go back and forth, back and forth.
You won't be dancing so now on the floor of your mansion.
You know, it's hard for Ellen because her ratings are like in the bottom of the barrel right now. But it's also, you know, lots going on. You know, there's this whole pandemic, so it's a huge shakeup. And then now people are kind of free to speak out, I think, because they're not getting paid by her to shut up anymore. Because, you know, a lot of them, I'm sure, are on furlough. They're unemployed, that kind of thing. She's like, well, she's not paying my bills anymore. I can talk about her all I want. You'd see the same thing that happened here in Chicago with the Chicago Black Drag Queen Council with T-Rex, also known as Tranica. Like, she was no longer paying their bills. So they felt like, hey, now's the time we can finally speak up because, like, she's not hiring me for any gigs. I'm not losing out on anything. I can say whatever it is I want now.
But the people who hired her, they're not being called out, though.
But what's so ironic is that she is always like, you know, she comes off as just this altruistic, you know, emblem of kindness and ends each show with be kind to each other. She got a medal from Barack. What was the medal she was given by Barack Obama?
Ellen did a lot of great things.
Listen, if you lick that much pussy, you'll get a medal from Barack Obama, too.
That's why I came out as bi.
You're like, I want that medal.
Yeah, where's my goddamn medal?
I just can't imagine. Well, I would really like be a spy on the wall in her studio to see what the hell goes on because, she comes off as like everything about her show is this batch of nice, you know, niceness and kindness and you know, do good things and say, you know, here's all this money and here you cut these checks. I love animals. you know, and it's like, well, what's going on in your studio? Like, or, well, you know, the thing is,
it's like,
people?
Have you ever worked in a restaurant? Like a big restaurant?
Are you kidding me? For 15 years.
I mean, you think about like your general manager. You know what I mean? Because it's like, think about that kind of situation. Because when you look at like this thing in her show, you know, she has the ability to create intimacy on her show, which is very important. She's got a large audience in there, a studio audience. By today's standards, it's a pretty big audience. You know, it's her sitting there with a guest. She's able to create that intimacy there. But there's a whole production going all around. You know what I mean? There's people running here. There's people running there. And so for her, I think it's like easier for her mentally. And especially, you know, she's worked so hard in her career. Yeah. She's just like, listen, you guys need to take care of all this shit. I don't want to have to deal with any of it. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to do my thing. And then I'm going to get out. And I think that's where a lot of people, they're coming from, is like there wasn't a lot of resources if they had any problems to talk about what's happening. There was no HR department. They had to go to like the big company. Like, I think it's Sony or something. Yeah. It's like nobody wants to do that because, you know, they're just it's hard. So there was no way to kind of like give feedback. And when people can't give feedback, they take it out on you.
They take it on the internet.
She built this mini empire. Yeah, she built this mini empire. And like, you know, like you said, she has to do her job. She became bigger than life at one point. And she did, you know, she's been a symbol and an icon for the gay community. She rose to stardom and blew up with talk show. I mean, really blew. I mean, she's become a household name, all of that. And so, like you said, it, you know, you delegate at that point. Delegate. You have the delegators delegate. And it's like, you know, maybe that is a failure on her part in the sense if she didn't have that HR in place. But it's not like she's going around the fields like, you know, tasing people, I don't think. I mean, she does seem nice.
Well,
like,
my favorite kind of Ellen is snarky, sarcastic Ellen, not, you know, Mother Teresa, Angel of Mercy Ellen. And, you know, anytime we've seen Ellen, like, let her guard down and just be her bitter lesbian self, it's so refreshing. Like when she, in her stand-up comedy special on Netflix, or when she was hanging out with Jerry Seinfeld and comedians in cars getting coffee, that was fun. That was great. I don't need to see Ellen give, you know, weeping kids, you know, checks. It's like, she could do that on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't, like, show us your intellect. Show us your real personality. Don't forget who you are, Ellen. Don't forget who you are, RuPaul. And, you know, if you don't want to be you, I'll do your job. Someone will. It's okay to also just be like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. It's okay.
Yeah.
But part of it is, you know what?
Yeah.
Porsche says, I need a Porsche. They, you know what I'm saying? They call her Porsche because she buys a new car every year.
I think it's
gonna be okay. I think that, you know, part of it is like they just did a poll and they basically said, and they asked all Americans, what do you think about cancel culture, and the vast majority of Americans say, I don't like it, I think it's destroying America, blah blah blah. And so of course Trump is like, I think cancel culture is terrible and blah blah blah, and the Democrats are for cancel culture. And I'm like,
I'm for canceling him. Hell yeah.
I was like, I think Trump, you know, I think the word cancel culture needs to be reconsidered, because the word cancel culture gives the illusion that we have any power to get rid of these rotten people. And just because I don't want to buy Goya beans doesn't mean that I'm canceling Goya. I'm just not going to be buying it, you know? I'm going to be buying Boyo adobo like I used to in the 80s when Goya used to put MSG in the adobo. Mm.
Well, that's like everyone saying, like, you got to boycott Wendy's, you got to boycott Burger King. They endorse Trump, but it's like, well,
did Burger King endorse Trump?
They give money to Trump and to the political parties. But, you know, when you're a huge multinational corporation like that, it's like you got to give money to some of these awful politicians, or else they're going to wreck your company. They're going to be like pass all sorts of crazy laws. You know, you're basically paying a protection racket at that point in time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's why Sheriff Harris is going to be cleaning up.
Have you ever had the urge, like when you're not wearing a mask and somebody says, hey, you should wear a mask, that you just want to haul off and punch them in the face or assault them for asking you to wear a mask?
Yeah.
sure. No, not really.
See, you're like, are you going to put these words in my mouth? You're the one saying it. Well, anyway, here in Illinois, they're making it a felony if you assault a worker who's enforcing a mask policy. So if you walk into a store, because we were seeing these videos online, people like pushing workers out of the way, punching them, getting all freaky and being nasty to these workers because they're just like, listen, we have a policy, you know, and these people come up with like, I have a doctor's excuse. This is not a real mandate. The mall policy is different and you're part of the mall. You're not really part of the mall. And you're like, it's a state mandate. So now in Illinois, at least, if you like hurt somebody who's trying to tell you to wear a mask, it's a felony.
Good. I mean, that should be a given.
I know, right? It should be a given. I guess before it could be like a misdemeanor assault or something like that, but now it's going to be like a full-on felony. So it's more of a thing. So we'll see if it's deterrent to anybody.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if they're trying to,
But even if, you know, but if you're not into wearing masks, they have a new dating website for people who want to go maskless. Maskless love.
Oh, really?
Lockdown skeptics. It was a forum started by Toby Young, who's a conservative guy, and he just wanted people to be able to meet like-minded individuals who didn't want to have to wear a mask in public.
Mask against
so they can
mask.
All give it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mask is kind of sexy, though. I'm kind of obsessed with a couple guys in my neighborhood, and part of it is I don't know what they look like underneath those masks. So I'm like imagining it's the Eliza effect.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have enough information, your mind fills in the blanks with favorable. Mm-hmm. Information. Yeah,
yeah. And the sad thing though is like if you wear a mask and you like let's say you have got a beautiful face but you have ugly eyes, you know, you're screwed. Yeah. Right? Because all you see is the ugly eyes.
Little beady little eyes.
You know? But maybe you have
it's
luscious
like we're all these mini burkas. Like now we get like why like Muslim women like can be so alluring, mm-hmm. You know, like all you can see is their eyes.
You know, I've been at the Target up in my neighborhood. I see a lot of women who wear like, you know, I guess it would be a burqa. Like they're covered. Like it's a veil. And like the only thing is you see their eyes. But I'll tell you with those eyes, they're very happy to make eyes at you. You know what I mean?
I'm the same way with my mask burqa. I'm like, I'm undressing people with my eyes.
It's like a little... Yeah, it's like a little hijab.
Yeah, I'm like, they don't know who I am. Now, this is the weird thing. We went to the drag and drive event at Voss Events here in Chicago.
At Soldier Field. In the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these people over there, and I just start, like, filming it, you know, and taking pictures of it. And not even, like, 3 seconds into it, this woman's like, oh, hi, Fausto. And I'm like, how the hell do you know who I am? Like... There's nothing. I have no visual indicators with a mask on. My hair's longer. I don't look like I normally do. And this woman, she was a fan of mine and she recognized me. And I was like, man, I can't get away with shit. My life is fucked. if I'm going to like, you know, be bumping pussies, I'm going to have to do a video with Megan Thee Stallion. Cardi B's new hit single, WAP. Wet.
Wet.
Wet. The WAP stands for wet.
Wet ass pussy,
wet
right?
Wet ass pussy.
Wet ass pussy. Right.
Now, why? People are saying that it's been criticized, all that stuff, but I'm like, 70 million views in 6 days. I don't think that's a failure. I don't think it's being threatened in any way.
Well, I mean, there's whole controversy around like, oh, they're just rapping about being, you know, prostitutes and getting like, you know, getting money and getting jewelry and getting, you know, material things because they're from their sex or from their, you know, the way they look. And it's like, there's that whole, I was just talking to a friend about this yesterday. There's just that whole argument around like, what really is feminist? And it's like, no, you know, if you are pandering to a male's ideal of what a female body should look like and what, you know, the female form is, you know, is sexy, what it is to be sexy to a man, then you're really not empowering yourself. And I kind of agree with that. I mean, if you're just conforming and like pandering to what you think a guy finds sexy because of like what media has always told him sexy is, then
then it's like, are you really free, you know, liberating yourself?
It's just drag culture right now. It's like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are wearing the same gloves that Peaches Christ wears with claws glued on them.
Well,
I can't wait for the Peaches Christ version of WAP.
It's so funny because have you guys seen the documentary Disclosure?
About the trans experience in Hollywood.
Yes, and I think it's Laverne Cox that says it, or maybe it's, I forget. She stood out a lot to me in that whole documentary, but someone was commentating on how, you know, someone who is transitioning from male to female is going to, you know, try to recreate and mimic the female form that's been in the media's eye and in the public's eye. So a trans woman is going to probably get, you know, really big boobs or drag queen. Emulate a woman in culture is to have, you know, to be busty and curvy and big lips and blonde hair. And it's like, it's just kind of fulfilling that kind of ideal that we've been accustomed to or, you know, constructed to think is the female.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, it's like I see Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion in their video WAP, and I'm a huge fan of Cardi B, and I think she's just oozes charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And imagine if I was a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. Stay with me. Don't be laughing. Don't be hating. And Cardi B was another contestant on the same season. I would just pack my bags and quit. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one would stand a chance against Cardi B on a drag show. So to me, it's like, I can understand why the producers of Drag Race have this kind of imaginary limit on who they can cast on the show because they don't want to make it so horribly unfair by putting somebody like Cardi B on the show who would just obliterate all the other contestants. But then again, they've had Bianca Del Rio on the season and she obliterated all the contestants from the very get-go.
But do you see what I mean about how like this conformity to like what the ideal is how like
they're just having fun.
They're wearing a bunch of crazy shit, dancing
and humping the stage and splashing around in swimming pools. Live a little.
Mm-hmm.
It's the COVID pandemic. You could be next. You don't want to be on your grave saying, I wish I wanted to have some fun.
I mean, you know, and when you look at it in the genre of rap, it's very apropos. Like when you listen to The Man, it's all about getting the money and they've got the cars and the girls and they've got their swagger and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's right up that alley.
Right.
And I often think too, when I see like these, you know, these kind of like people rapping and talking about how much money they have and the men all want them and that kind of stuff. I always think back on Eartha Kitt in the '50s and she's just like, I'm going to marry a millionaire. And like, what's the other
boat? I'm just an old fat. Did somebody say my name? This is Eartha Kitt here. You thought that the grave could hold me back? Well, you were wrong. Dead wrong. I want an old-fashioned man with an old-fashioned mind. Not sophisticated, I'm a pure and simple kind. And then she says, with my champagne taste and your... What is it?
I'll be
eating pheasant while you're dining with the peasants, dunking donuts in a diner without me.
Mm.
So, Eartha,
this could be your audition for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, unfortunately, I think
she did it. Jujubee just did it. Great.
I have the seal of approval from Eartha's daughter, mm-hmm. Kit, that I'm the world's greatest Kit Shapiro vocal illusionist. However, I think other drag queens do visually a better job than I do. So, you know, we can work together as a team.
Mm.
It would be a match made in hell. Or heaven, depending on which way you think about it. But I cannot do the German growl.
Well, because you haven't really practiced.
Can you do that? You can do it, right? See, that's a German. That's the Eartha growl. I can do the Spanish. But that's not the same one. Marks.
You just have to work your tongue. Maybe Lindsay can show you how to work the tongue.
No, that's the...
I can only do...
Yeah, it's the German, Mark. Do it one more time. No, you did it better. There you go.
Ooh, you just got to get that tongue vibrating.
It's all the...
Oh, right, yeah.
Yes, mama. Well, Lindsay, I hope that your comedy career does better than, you know, now that you've destroyed it on the podcast.
Well, let's just say I'm not going to do comedy over my phone since you can't hear me. But yeah,
or maybe when you get Wi-Fi back, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, comedy is slowly coming, making a return. It's slowly coming back. Mm. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I might be back up at the comedy club this Thursday. So.
Where, you're going to be in a club that people can go like out of the house.
So the comedy,
bar. I meant comedy bar. The comedy bar on the patio. Yeah,
okay. So comedy bar typically is at 500 North LaSalle, but they're associated with Gino's East. But Gino's got another location that has an outside patio, and so that's where they've been doing the comedy there. So like they're keeping comedy alive.
And that's why they were the first comedy club, place that does comedy, whatever you want to call it. They were the first venue to come back because of the patio access. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we'll see. Hopefully the comedy will come back and other, you know, people will go out to the theater again as soon as we get like a vaccine.
There used to be music
something.
In this house.
It's so weird to live in this big, giant, hunking city with like, it's hard to do anything anymore.
Oh, I could find some entertainment.
I know. Mm.
You and I and a bottle of champagne and a bath full of bubbles are enough to make me orgasmic.
And maybe we'll have guests in the home studio again.
I missed, like, we had
so much fun when you were here.
Yeah. We popped open
a bottle. Well, what if I get a negative COVID test? What if I get a negative test because I have been ordered
but
to get
one tomorrow?
By the
time the results come in, you're already sucking all those
dicks. I'm going to get a rapid one.
Oh, really?
There's a rapid COVID test now?
Yeah, you get your results in like 20 minutes.
Really?
Really?
Yes, you have to pay for
it. How much is it?
$150.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
No.
I hate
no.
the country. Yep.
Just get your Wi-Fi fixed, girl. What is it, your router? What happened?
Just restart your router. God damn it.
I don't know. I mean, it's not the router. It's from the store. Something's down. They have to come out and service it.
Oh, okay.
You got to get Tangina to get all the poltergeist out of this. This house is clean.
This
now.
Wi-Fi works.
She lied.
She's available.
She died. She's doing it from the other side now.
Aww,
all are welcome.
Like
all are welcome.
Come into the light.
I love it.
Ooh, she was. I think she was in The Wizard of Oz, wasn't she? The actress.
No.
Zelda Rubinstein was in The Wizard of Oz.
No.
Yes. She's one of the Lollipop Guild.
No, she was not.
Break up, you sleepy heads. Rub your eyes. Get out. She's one of the babies in the in that scene.
No, it's not.
Let me Google this.
I don't think so.
Rubinstein. I'm telling you, she was in The Wizard of Oz.
Well, it was really great to talk to you, Aitan. I'm really sorry for all the difficulty with my connection earlier. I apologize.
You should be sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I wish I had known. I would have made some arrangements or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I trust that you guys will make it beautiful. Oh. So make it sound great. And
we'll do what we can. She was in The Wizard of Oz.
I told you.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, she played one of the babies.
Mm-hmm. She was like one of the little, she died in 2010.
Don't you? She looks like one of the little munchkins, mm-hmm. you know?
Was she really in The Wizard of Oz?
Born in Pittsburgh in 1933, former lab technician, was almost 50 when she made her big screen debut as a woman playing a munchkin in The Wizard of Oz in 1982's Under the Rainbow.
Aww. How old was she when she croaked?
1933, she died in 1950, or no, it's 2010, so 10 plus 6, 77. Yeah. So she wasn't in the original Wizard of Oz, she was under the rainbow.
Oh, she was in a parody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't count.
She was in 16
I'm
Candles.
Sorry. Yeah, she played one of the candles.
Shut up. Shut up.
No, she, the movie Under the Rainbow is kind of weird and fucked up. Hey, it's like,
Before we go, how's Raj?
What's Raj?
Oh, he's good. He's good.
Her
he
crush.
is he's not my crush anymore. That was 20 years ago.
Your college crush.
He's my best friend, and he's doing well. He is actually, he's getting master's from Harvard, taking online classes, getting his master's in environmental studies.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. He's doing great.
That's good. Because I think the last podcast you came on, we talked a lot about Raj. Or the first podcast.
What was interesting about Raj besides the fact that she
was
boned him?
She was in love with him for years. And like,
and he was gay.
And he was gay and he didn't want any.
That's
right. He wanted everybody except for Lindsay to know.
So he was out to everybody except Lindsay.
Mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he was mad because he's like, I didn't want her to know.
Oh, he's a piece of shit.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing that went on for years.
We were young and stupid. We're best friends.
Has he apologized to you being like wanting to keep you from such a vital piece of information and stuff? Or
he did. I'm sure he has along the way. That like so that was all. That was 18 years ago. Like we've moved on. he loves me very 18. Much.
This
he
happened in grade school. I thought you're like 24.
Yeah, right. I'm 38.
Get the fuck out of here.
I swear.
You look like a young lady.
Well, she's good at Photoshop. As we all are.
No, I do not Photoshop, you bitch. I just, you know, I'm short. And I think that I, you know, just look younger. I don't look 24. So a lot of times I get like 32, 33.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. I would just lie, it. Just say you're 28.
I'm 33 years old. I've been 33 for 20 years.
I swear to God, it's getting, I'm 38. I'm going to start to, now this is going to give me away. People who have never listened to this and like people I just meet, I'm just going to start saying 35. Fuck
just
it.
Do 31 or 32.
Jesus was 33 when he was crucified. That's how
like,
you remember.
Be 28, be like, 30? I'm 28. I'm a comedian. I've had a hard life.
I drink a lot.
No, the point is, I look. No. I mean, I don't know what's better. Like, so yeah, I'm 38. People will be like, "Oh my god, you look so young." Or if I say I'm 35, people are like, "Yeah, you look like that." What? You know? So I don't know.
On the dating apps, do you skew a little younger? Do you go a little younger for the dating apps?
No, I don't.
Oh,
lie.
Really? I totally lie. No. I'm 10 years younger on those. They don't. Nobody cares.
I'm 500 years younger. No. I was born in 1482.
Vampire.
It's like what you see is what you get, honey. Yeah. What you see is what you get.
Yeah. All right, Geraldine. Lindsay, go check out Madonna. So someone grabbed, I don't know if you remember this, but Madonna's legendary masterpiece is her performance of Vogue at the MTV Video Music Awards, where she dressed up in Glenn Close's costume from Dangerous Liaisons. Glenn Close actually lent it to Madonna for the performance. And it's a masterpiece, but it was something that was, you know, in standard definition and broadcast on television. And what we had up until this past week was a very low quality version of that performance. Not anymore. And it is a goosebump inducing magic. Someone used artificial intelligence to augment the video footage of Madonna's MTV performance to turn it into a high definition video.
So you actually can add definition to it. Cause like there was always like people like, can you take this low resolution photo and bump up the resolution on it? And people are always like for years, no, that's impossible. You can't do it.
Well, it's a very expensive process. It's very time consuming. Mm-hmm. It is an emerging technology, but it is jaw dropping and astounding. You can see it on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/feastoffun. And you can see the high definition version of Madonna's Vogue. And it is stunning. It feels like I'm watching a scene from FX Pose. You know, it's really quite stunning. Now, Lady Bunny said, it's like, I never thought giant costumes impeding movement was a decent idea for the performance of Vogue. Not back then and not now. And I said, honey,
opinions.
It's almost Dominique Jackson old. From Pose has some words with you, darling. Because, of course, in Pose, the series, they broke into the museum and stole a bunch of royal costumes and then performed in them flawlessly. It's fantastic. I heard that they're actually filming now, in the process of filming, the next season of Pose.
Oh.
Which I'm like, wow, that's amazing that Hollywood continues doing this stuff.
I mean, they're filming Drag Race. Yeah. Tyler Perry opened up his studio in Georgia in June and was going to sequester people and have COVID tests and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm back to work doing some catering here and there. So it's like, the world's your oyster, right, folks.
And I'm sucking dicks on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Hey, amen.
Lindsay, I want to wish you the best and please come back soon, okay?
Thank you so much. You guys too. And stay safe.
Where's the best place for people to follow you? Is it the Instagram, the Twitter, and where at?
Instagram. I'm Lynn Sasha, LinSasha.
Well, all right. Oh, so Lynn Sasha.
Let me make sure I got that. LinHa. Got it.
N.
H.
INSASHAMISSISSIPPI. Forget it.
Bye, Lindsay.
Bye, love
Send
you.
Send us some photos, okay? Send us some photos.
Yeah, with clothing on this time.
Talk
yeah,
to you yeah. Soon.
Clothing. Clothing okay. With clothing. So we can put it in the album. Because this show's going up in like an hour. So
yeah, this is a family show.
Do it now, please.
Okay.
All right, Lindsay Shaw lives in Chicago, Illinois. You can check her out on Lindsay Shaw on Instagram. Mm-hmm. What is that again, Lindsay?
She hung up. Lynch.
No, Lynch. She's still on there. What is it?
Lynn Sasha.
Lynn Sasha. LinSasha.
Got it. Lynn Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you miss it. And of course, we put links to all this stuff in the notes. So if you just scroll down, if you're listening on your podcast player, you can go visit Lynn Sasha on Instagram and see her nudes. Actually, you have for to private
tasteful
message.
Nudes,
tasteful, sure. Erotic photography.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fabulous people like Lindsay Shaw, Lynn Sasha, if it weren't for you and your continued support over the years. We are in our 16th season here at Feast of Fun. Could you imagine?
Don't let it end this way, baby.
Yeah.
Don't leave me this way.
Keep on going.
Keep on going. If you want to put a little Venmo, honey. Lindsay, what's your Venmo, honey?
Lin19.
Just LIN19?
LINS19
at Venmo. But, you know, verify it first. Yeah. Don't just be throwing money at some random stranger.
All right,
wait.
LINS19.
LINS.
Okay, OnlyFans, too?
Sure.
What's your OnlyFans?
I don't have one yet. I was going to do one for my internet account.
Fucking internet.
Stupid internet.
I'll talk to you guys
bye,
too.
Bye, sweetie. Lindsay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.